Hey my village, it's your coach Mo back with a new episode. Today's topic is going to be about things we should be doing or getting our kids ready for before they go back to school. I know some people, kids went back to school today, this week. Mine's is this week. And these are important. I see a lot of kids unprepared for school. Parents are just happy to get them out of the house, happy to have their time back to themselves, and that relief of, oh my gosh, summer is over, it's time for them to go back to school, but not really paying too much detail into prepping them and getting them prepared or ready to return back to school. This is a process. Kids are used to being at home during the summer. They're free. They don't have any real responsibilities, don't have to worry about homework, things like that, unless you're a parent like me where you give homework during the summer, make your kid read, stuff like that, because they lose a lot of knowledge over the summer when they're not exercising those brain muscles. But that's just me, and that's just how I was brought up, and that's how I raised my son. Education is very important in our household. But as a parent coach, I do a lot of volunteering at school. So wherever my son go to school, I usually volunteer, or sometimes the school hire me as the parent coach. And I see so much that disappoint me. That's what I'm going to use, the word disappoint. Where, for example, my son was in a charter school last year, and I was volunteering for the before and after care. And I would basically take the temperature of all the kids before they can enter the school and collect their COVID questionnaire sheets and make sure they're in full uniform before they can enter the school. So I helped with like the kindergartners through fourth grade because it was K through 12. So I help with the younger ones. Y'all parents are sending y'all kids to school not knowing how to tie their shoe. There's so many kids where they forget their form and we have to fill it out and they don't even know their first and last name. That is unacceptable on every level. I don't care how busy you are as a parent. You failed if your kid don't even know their legal name. That's crazy to me. You called them a nickname their whole life till they really thought that was their real name. And then you send them to school unprepared, not even knowing who they are. They need to know who they are. How they gonna answer to the role? If something was to happen at that school and, God forbid, a school shooting, and you're trying to locate your kid and they're asking the kids for their name so they can report and send them back to their parents, and your child don't even know who they are. Like, that's crazy to me. By the time my son reached kindergarten, the teacher told me I taught him too much because I did homeschool him from when he can talk. Pretty much, because we started with books about 5 months. You start with sounds. You start with teaching them their alphabets, teaching them their numbers, teaching them their first, middle, and last name, teaching them your first, middle, and last name. My son knew my phone number by heart by the time he went to kindergarten. That's why when he started kindergarten, he had his first iPhone. He was able to dial, use the phone. He knew what street we live on, what city and state we lived in, where the cross streets. He knew what freeway we went on to get home. I made sure he was prepared for in case of emergency. If you get lost in a store, you know your mom first and last name. They can call me on the intercom, or you can call me because you know my number by heart. This is crazy. Like, he knew his grandparents' names. He knew everybody's cousins' first and last name, siblings, his dad. He only remembered my phone number off the top of his head because I really, like, schooled him and programmed him. He's really good with numbers, so I played on his strong strengths. He's good at memorizing things, and he's good at numbers, but he was a kinesthetic learner, so we do rhythm, recite the number, repetitive stuff. And that's how he was able to learn it. This is something that we need to prepare our kids for, because all this crazy madness and things that's happening in schools, like, my son know what protocols we have. Like, if something happened at your school, keep your phone on you at all times. Don't put your phone in your backpack. You better call me because I need to be in the loop. you could walkie talk me. Like, now he's 13. He got an Apple Watch. You can walkie talk me on the Apple Watch. Even if you don't have access to be able to grab your phone, if something happened at your school and there's an emergency, walkie talk me, because you don't need to do anything but push the button on your watch. And or keep a Bluetooth in so that it won't say it out loud. Like, I teach them how to have survival skills, because the world we live in is madness. My kid is going to be prepared. I grew up in Compton, California. We didn't have to have no shooting drills. We just only had to have earthquake drills. But I know how to survive. I know how to be, like, conscious of my surrounding. And I teach that to my son. Those were survival skills, because anything could pop off at any time. You know, when the sway of the crowd, the energy moves different, you know something's about to happen. So you need to get out right now just by observing your surroundings. So I teach that to my kid, because he didn't have the street smarts. He didn't grow up in the hood and nowhere near like how I grew up. But he still needs to know these survival and life skills. But there's so many parents that send their kids to school with dirty uniforms, dirty clothes, dirty shoes, don't even comb their hair. How you sending your kid to school on the first day looking raggedy? Usually at least the first week kids are looking decent. But when you don't even put the effort to doing that, some of y'all let your kids just look like nobody at home care about them. They don't even wash their face, don't brush their teeth. They come ashy, no lotion. We used to be shiny with Vaseline all over our face, picture ready, sharp. Like, we couldn't have no dirty shoes. You have to remember, as a parent, your child represent you. So if your child look a certain way, I'm going to assume the mama and daddy look like trash. But then you'd be having the parents come to school with these lace fronts, laid slate, and all of the above, but your kid looking raggedy as hell. That is not acceptable at all. So with school starting, please do better. Please do better. We're not trying to have your kid come to school mad because you done cussed them out on the way to school for something stupid. And it jacks up their energy for the whole day. Then the teacher got to deal with that crap. Or the kids around that kid got to deal with that crap. Please get it together. Try to start their day on a positive note. Feed your kids before you send them to school if you're not going to send them to school early enough to get lunch, breakfast in the cafeteria. We don't need your kids coming to school hungry and cranky and hangry. That's not something teachers need to have to deal with. That's not part of their job description. We really have to do better. Get them trained on waking up on time, being self-sufficient, because everybody is not going to do everything for your kid at school because you was the helicopter mom at home doing everything for your kid. And when they get to school, they need somebody to tie their shoe. They need somebody to help them put their backpack on. They need somebody to tell them what to do every step. They should know how to do certain things, like get their paper or pencil supplies out of their backpack by themselves. They should know how to open their food at lunchtime. We shouldn't have to open milk cartons and juice packs and chip bags and stuff because they never had to do it on their own. We as parents have to teach our kids these things ahead of time. Practice opening up packages at home to get them prepared, because the worst thing is to see a kid now on time restrictions where recess is only this long. So when playtime is over, it's over. We don't have to bribe you to come get in line and it's time to go back to class and keep repeating ourselves because you don't know when playtime is over. Like, you're in a time limit. We're not at a park with your family. Let's go. Line up. Or just follow simple directions. Or when they go to lunch and it's only 30 minutes. Time your kids on how long it takes them to open their packaging and eat. The worst feeling ever is to see a kid hungry because they took so long to open their food. Then now lunch is over and they're hungry. And then teachers got to try to sneak and give them stuff so they can eat because they're crying, they're sad, they're hangry. And it ruins everybody's mood and everybody's day. Train your kids on don't talk and play during lunchtime. Eat and get it done and keep going. Because this is what they would have to do in adult life. Most jobs, especially if you live in the U.S., only give you a 30-minute lunch, 15-minute break, go use the restroom, get right back, eat, get right back. Me, I don't accept that. I don't care what job I work with. I always request upon hiring, my schedule needs to be a little slightly different than everybody else. I need an hour lunch. I'll be here longer, come in earlier, whatever. But I have acid reflux. I cannot eat fast. So I need to properly be able to eat, take my time, and digest my food before I can come back to work. Otherwise, I'm going to be sick. So we as parents need to either ask for a special accommodation if our child do have some type of digestive issue and can't rush and eat, or give them something simpler if you're going to pack a lunch that they can easily open and eat. These are just things that you have to know about your child too, and you have to be your child's advocate. Me, I used to always speak up for the kids. The parents, I would be like, hey, give your parent my card and tell them to email me because you need help. My mom was like that. My moms, my aunties, they always stayed at our school. They will always be the advocate. My mom used to come to school and change my friend's class schedule. Like in high school, she'll be coming to speak with the counselor to make sure me and my sister was on track for graduating, going to college. And every time she came to school, she was like the team mom. They'd be like, hey, Monique, Unique Mom, can you help me get my class changed? And she would do it. She would be like their mom and go to the counselor and be like, hey, this person needs to be in this person's class. And she would help them out. Like, they looked at my mom like their mom. I always had to share my mom with all my friends because she would be on my teacher's butt about, hey, this is not acceptable, or you being very unprofessional, or you shouldn't be this friendly with the students. And she peep game and she call them out on their stuff. But my mom never played about her education. Like, my mom, me, and my sister, we all are college graduates. So my mom has I believe hers is business administration degree. And my sister has a business marketing degree, bachelor's degree. They both have bachelor's degree. And I have my bachelor's degree in psychology, my master's in psychology, and right now I'm getting my PhD in psychology. But my mom did not play about school and about education. She'd be like, I didn't raise no fool. I ain't no fool. And she led by example when it came to the standard of, like, your education is very important. We didn't get forced to go to college, but we chose to. We used to spend the summers on the college campus with her because she was a single mom. We would sit in the back of the class. Her teachers did not mind. And while she's in summer school, we used to be on the college campus with her. And that's how we learned a lot of stuff earlier, too, and how we were honor students, because we were learning at a young age college work because we would go to school with my mom. But literally, parents, please do your due diligence and please know your kids' teachers. Oh my gosh, I think this is like one of the biggest things I've seen, where you can ask parents, like, oh, they come pick up their kid. What's their teacher name? They don't even know. You should know your kid's homeroom teacher, at least minimum, their homeroom teacher, because that's where mostly they're going to be, and the schedule is built off of who their homeroom teacher is, and everybody moved together to all the same classes. Know that at least. Your kids come home with a schedule. You should know their schedule. You should know what classes they take on what days, when to wash their PE clothes, stuff like that. You should know when their lunch period is, when they get out early or late start, if their schools are like how it is in Vegas or California. Like, Wednesdays are usually the short days. We used to do late start, but they do early out now. But at the very least, know the teacher. My son, no, I don't play. I'm heavily involved in his education, his learning, how he learned. And I let the teachers know, this is his learning style. If you have any problem, he know first day of school, he goes with a deck of my cards, my business cards, and let your teacher know, your mom is a parent coach. Here's her card. Here's how you contact her. This is her email, her phone number, and her website. And I let the teacher know, please contact me. And then I partner with the teacher, let them know, this is how my kid is. He likes to talk. Don't put him around talking to people. You might want to put him in the front of the class. He gets distracted really easily. Don't take your foot off his neck, because if you give him a little leeway, he's going to take advantage of you, especially women teachers. He's very gullible. He's very persuasive. So they always like, oh, he's my helper. It's been like this since kindergarten, where he will manipulate his teacher and get what he want, and they let him slide with everything, and then they lose control, and then they be like, oh, I need your help. Nope, I already warned you. I told you don't give him no leeway, no slack, because he's going to take advantage, and he's going to win over your heart and charm you into getting what he want. Then you won't get anything out of him. So I tell the school, when you're considering his schedule, he need male teachers, because they never let him get away with anything. And he's pretty much intimidated by a male figure telling him what to do. So he do very well with men. He would get straight A's. Women, it's a challenge. It is a challenge, because they fall for his charm every time. Giving him gifts, and I'd be like, take it back to school. Well, he was my helper today, so I gave him, nope. If you're not giving it to all the students, don't give it to him. And I set the record straight in the beginning. So it's important that you know the teachers, because sometimes you can't even trust the teachers nowadays. because they get too friendly with the students. And you're like, especially my kid being 13, he's 6 feet. We don't play no games. We do not play them games. Sorry. No favoritism. None of that. If you're not doing it for all the kids, don't do it for one. And I strongly stick by that. But I offer the teachers, like, if you need my help, especially when you got kids with behavioral issues and stuff, this is my expertise. If you want me to do parent-teacher conference with you and talk to the parents, I will partner with the school. I do a lot of volunteer work with the school. One of his charter schools asked me, can I be the parent coach to help bridge the gap between communication with the teachers and the parents? I sure can. We can have those conversations. We can have those Zoom calls. We can have those meetings. I was elected like the parent leader at one of his other schools, his elementary school, where I represented all the parents. I went to all the meetings with the administrators, teachers, and I was the advocate for the parents and the students. So you need to get involved. You need to know what's going on. Even if you're busy working a lot and you don't have the time, you can always send emails. That's why I give them my card, so they can have my contact information. You can type up something saying, hey, this is how my child is. This is my contact information. If you have any problem, please work with me. Help me help you. Some teachers will let your kid fail, and all year, don't say nothing to the end of the year, be like, hey, your kid is failing. I'd be like, why didn't you tell me this early on when you seen the trend of him going downwards? This is why you have my contact information. I don't need you to tell me at the last minute when he can't do anything about it and recover from it. So I let them know, this is how I am, and I will check in with you in the office and the principal if needed to make sure he stay on track to be successful. I'm not the type of parent that sit back and watch my kid fail, because he represents me, and I need to know what's going on at all times. But hopefully some of this information get through to somebody and it helps somebody. But we do have to do better, and I need y'all to please, please take this serious, because I'm telling you, you do not want the job of the teacher. Y'all already had an example of it when the country cut and shut down and we had to homeschool our own kid. I know how it is, because I homeschooled him for 5 years. It's stressful. I don't want that job. I'd rather somebody that get paid to do that job. I'm not gonna do it for free. I got enough to do as a parent teaching him and raising him. I don't want the job of teaching him. So just do better, and until next time, Coach Mo out.